You can open them to Mark chapter 4. Hallelujah. Tell you what, God's going to change some lives here this morning.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You know, you're looking at somebody who in the fall of 1996, fall of 1996, I drove down back an oil and gas road on my property in 196 West Main Street, Frewsburg, New York. We had a oil and gas lease on there. And I had just broken into my dad's gun cabinet. It wasn't very secure. And I got his 357 Magnum. And I drove down back. There's a reason why I'm telling this morning. I drove down back behind the house and cocked the hammer. And I stuck that thing in the back of my throat. And when I did that, I was ready to pull the trigger. And, you know, I had grown up in church. But I was never really told about Jesus and what he had for me. Like I said, Grandma, she tried her best, but she really kind of turned me off from the whole God thing. And, you know, kind of like a lot of Christians turn people off. You know, they're judgmental, they're critical. And, you know, just because Christians act like morons doesn't mean God's one.
That's right. That's so good.
Amen. Just because Christians act like morons doesn't mean God's one of them. Amen? Hallelujah. And so anyways, I was getting ready to pull that trigger. And I was shaking and crying and ready to go. But before I did it, all of a sudden in that vehicle, I had a Chevy Cavalier back then. A neon sign dropped through the roof. You say, what in the world are we talking about? Well, all I can tell you is what I saw and what happened. I don't know if I could have touched the sign. You know, the Bible talks about visions and revelations. I don't know if it was like on a movie screen or if it was actually there, but it dropped in there. And on that screen, or on that neon sign, where the word was the word eternity. And it was written in capital letter E, lowercase, the rest of the letters. And it was in white, and it flashed on and off. Flashed on and off. Well, I didn't take my life because I knew that hell was real. I just didn't know how to get to not go to hell. I knew heaven was real, but I didn't know how to get to heaven. But I was afraid that if I pulled the trigger, where I would go. And so I didn't pull the trigger. But the things that were still on my life, the depression that was when I was a senior in high school, that had plagued me from about the first day of ninth grade, the only thing I could ever think about was taking my life. I don't know why. I had a good life. I was very athletic, excelled in sports, you know, had friends and different things, came from a good family. But it just from ninth grade on, every day, I mean, I'd come home from school and just lay in the dark, think about taking my life. It was awful. And so I didn't take my life because I was afraid of where I would go. Didn't know, you know, eternity's a long time. And so I didn't do it, but anyways, for the next 5 years to cope with the depression and things, I turned to drugs and became a severe alcoholic. I had a gambling addiction like you wouldn't believe. I mean, I'm talking severe stuff. Promiscuous living, you know, just not very full of integrity. Lots of different jobs, bouncing in and out of different colleges and just different things. But it all changed when Jesus came. January 10th, 2002, in a hunting cabin in Youngsville, Pennsylvania, I gave my heart to Jesus. And the reason I say that is because there's people here this morning that, you know, you have different ideas about God maybe, but you've come from different places and, you know, you're facing different things in your life. Jesus is the answer to all of them.
Amen.
He's the answer to every single problem you ever had. And I don't know what you've been taught about God or what you know about God or what you don't know about God, but I can tell you what I know about him. He's merciful and he loved you so much. He gave you his son and he wants to invade every single area of your life and make it better if you'll let him. He won't. He's not the SWAT team. What do I mean by the SWAT team? The SWAT team, they don't knock when they come to the door. They bust the door down, right? Jesus knocks. He wants to be let in. And so Jesus is the answer this morning. God's going to speak to you. Whatever you're facing, God wants to turn it around. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. I'm living proof of it. Glory to God. I mean, alcohol, drugs, they don't have anything on me anymore. Praise God. I mean, I'm talking all-out addictions. Gambling, it's awesome. Now I drive by to Olean every single Saturday. And then when we have Tuesday services, I drive by the casino. And there would have been a time in my life where I would have not been able to drive by without going in there and emptying out every last penny that I had. And I can drive by and I'm free, praise God, because of the Lord. Well, Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. We're blessed and excited for what you have for us. You're going to speak to us and bless us and help us. Father, we thank you for revelation, insight, wisdom. Thank you for words from heaven today. Thank you, you're speaking unto us. Thank you, you're going to say something through me that's going to hit a bullseye in everybody's heart. I don't know everybody here personally. I don't know what everybody's going through, but you're going to say something through me, and they're going to hear it, and they're going to be like, how did he know to say that? But the truth is, I didn't know how to say it. You did, Father. And it'll be a sign unto people that you're real. This church thing is real. And this is different than any place they've ever been before. And that this is actually a place where they can hear from heaven and that God will speak to them. And so, Father, we thank you beforehand for the right words to be spoken in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Mark chapter 4 and verse 35 says, the same day when evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Praise God. You know, I'll just tell you the truth. As I was walking down the hallway there, Jesus changed the message to this right now. As I was walking out to get up here, I shared along these lines in Olean last night and had, it seemed good in my spirit to go a different direction. But as I was walking down, this is where he said to go. And so it says, Jesus said, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the back part of the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him. And they said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? So here we have an indication or a story where Jesus told people, hey, let's get in a boat. We're going to the other side. Just so you know, ladies and gentlemen, the will of God for your life is to go to the other side.
Amen.
It's not to be stuck in the problem. You know, David said this in Psalm 23. He said, yea, though I camp out in the valley of the shadow of death. Yea, though I build a tent there. Yea, though I build my dwelling and live there. No, he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. God doesn't want you to stay camped out in your problems. In fact, Jesus said, let us go unto the other side. Whatever you're facing here this morning, Jesus' will is that you go to the other side of that. But the awesome thing is, he doesn't want you getting to the other side beaten up, battered and tattered and worn, and worse for the wear. No, he wants you to get to the other side better than you ever were before, stronger than you ever were before, more peaceful than you ever were before, more prosperous than you ever were before, more healthy than you ever were before. Now, if you're in the middle of a storm, I don't even care if you put yourself in the middle of that storm. They got in the boat. Right? They got in the boat. It doesn't matter if you put yourself in a storm. In fact, James 1 and verse 2 says, my brethren, count it joy when you fall. Who did the falling? You did the falling. The Bible says, count it joy when you fall into various tests and trials. When you fall, when you trip and stumble, even if you put yourself in there by idiotic things, by stupid decisions, stupid choices that you made that led to bad consequences, even if you did it and put yourself in the storm, the Bible says you can count it joy. Why can you count it joy? Because there's a Jesus who wants to take you to the other side. It doesn't matter how bad you failed. It doesn't matter how bad you've messed up your finances, your family, your kids, your marriages, your jobs, your finances, your investments. What doesn't matter. If you'll repent and get in with God, he says, okay, now let's go to the other side. You're my child. Listen, when my kids screw up, you know what I don't do? I don't sit there and kick them when they're down, beat them up and tell them how bad they are and how horrible they are. Nope. Pick them up and say, buddy, brush them off, spank them on the rear and say, let's go. Praise God. We're going on to better. Amen. Hallelujah. It's the truth. Praise God. He wants better for you. He said, let us go to the other side. So they went to the other side. But when they were on the middle of the water, a storm came. And they thought they were going to die, didn't they?
Yes.
Now, I want you right now in your seats, because I don't know what everybody's going through. I want you right now to think about something in your life that is causing stress, anxiety, worry, or fear. Right now, think of something in your life that is at the doorstep, that's just chattering in your ear, that is causing you to either enter into worry, fear, anxiety, or stress, or trying to really put a pull on you. It could be financial, could be physical, could be relationship, could be a job, could be you're believing God for a house, a vehicle, a spouse, whatever, who knows, whatever it is you're believing God for, whatever it is that looks bad, what is it in your life right now that's on the doorstep to attempt to get you, or maybe it already has got you into fear, worry, anxiety, and stress. Now, once you think of those things that are causing you to do that, I want to ask you the same question that Jesus asked them. Now, think of everything that you're thinking about now. Maybe it's multiple things. It could be, like I said, money, health, whatever. Think about those things. Now my question is this to you. Why? Why are you afraid? Why are you worried? Why are you stressed? Why are you anxious? And your answer might be to me, Pastor, it's obvious. You know what I just said to you. You know I just said to you that, is my time up already? Praise the Lord, I just started. My God, don't try to get rid of me yet. The food away, I promise it won't go anywhere. If I'm in here, you know the food's safe. Praise the Lord. And so you say, well, Pastor, that's a dumb question because you just told me to think on that thing and I'm facing this financially, I'm facing this physically, I'm facing this in my life. That's why. Well, my question would be to you, Jesus said to them, why are you afraid? And here were people who were professional fishermen who spent their life on the water, who no doubt encountered storms, who no doubt knew what it was like to be out on the water. But this was a storm that they encountered that was unlike any other storm. They thought they were actually going to die today. He said, because before he said, they said, Master, don't you care that we're dying? They're professional fishermen. They think they're going to die. What does that mean? That is the worst of the worst case scenario that anybody could be in, would be facing death. And Jesus still looked at them and said, why are you afraid?
Yeah.
So my question to you would be, whatever you're facing this morning, it might be a death thing, which would be the worst. But majority of people that come to me and meet with me about stuff fret and stress over things that are a far less degree of severity than death. Yet even in the most severe trial, Jesus said, why are you afraid? Why are you stressed? Why are you worried? Why are you anxious? And my question to you today is, why? Why? Praise God. We're going to help you this morning. Go to Colossians 2 and verse 10. Colossians 2 and verse 10. You think, let me ask you a question. If Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, which he is, if he was asking the disciples this, don't you think he's standing at your life and asking you the same thing?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Praise God.
Why? Well, Colossians 2 and verse 10 says this, and you, everybody say me, you are complete. Complete. You know what completeness is? That word there is talking about a wholeness. You can't be a whole or complete when you're sick. I'm talking about the completeness. See, the Bible says in Romans 10:13, if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. That word saved in the Greek is the Greek word sozo. It doesn't just mean a spiritual salvation. It means a complete salvation from head to toe. Salvation from financial trouble. Salvation from worry, fear, anxiety, stress, and depression. Salvation from physical problems. It's a complete salvation. It's called the abundant life. It's called heaven on earth. Didn't Jesus say, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth as it is where? In heaven. He said, I want to see what's going on in heaven invade the earth. In the Old Testament, it was called days of heaven upon the earth. The Old Testament people had the ability to enter in, if they do things God's way, in days of heaven on earth. What is heaven on earth? No sickness. What's heaven on earth? No depression. What's heaven on earth? No fear, no anxiety, no money problems. That's what God is saying to you. That's what completeness is. And he says you are complete, but notice the caveat there, or the warning, or the big fat asterisk in that verse is you are complete only in him.
Amen.
So obviously and evidently in him marks a boundary.
Yeah.
Do you see that there?
Yeah.
That if you go outside of the boundary in him, the completeness goes away. You know, you see this all the time. You'll hear stories. People that went backpacking in different countries, in like, you know, the mountains of Uzbekistan or something. I don't know, whatever country they're able to be in. And they'll wander past some borders. You hear it all the time. Where they went over, and maybe they slipped over into the border of Iran or somewhere where they're not supposed to be. And they get taken captive, right? Oh, you're in the wrong place. Well, what happens when they go outside that boundary? Things go downhill for them. When you go outside the boundary of in him, that's when things go downhill. Because ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, the promise of in him completeness is only found within the boundaries of Jesus. You're only complete in him. You step outside the boundaries and trouble happens. That's why we don't want trouble to happen. Now go back with me to Matthew or Mark chapter 4 in verse 40. Mark 4 and verse 40. So now we're going to ask you the same question, but Jesus is going to answer it for us. Aren't you glad he gives us the answers?
Amen.
With Jesus, thank God, it's as good for me because I was a bad student. It's an open book test. Every single test that you have in life can be found in the open book. And he says, go ahead and use it. Go ahead, cheat all you want, open the book, find the answers, and use it. Praise God. There's nothing that you can face in this life that this doesn't have the answer for to take you to better. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just tell you, it's not the test that's the problem. It's the fact that you don't know the answer. Because I got tests in school that I failed, but the person next to me, usually it was the girls, that they got the answers right. Well, it wasn't the test problem, it was the taker's problem. Yeah, the answers have all been given to us. It's the truth. It's the truth. Praise God. Anyways, Mark chapter 4, he said unto them, why are you so afraid? And I'm asking you, why? Why are you worried? Why are you stressed? Well, he tells us the answer. How is it that you have no faith? Do you see that? He said the answer to why you entered into worry, fear, anxiety, and stress is because your faith level is gone. Notice he's saying that when, let's go back to, please, Mark chapter 4 and verse 40. Thank you. He said, why are you so afraid? You have no faith. So he's saying that the presence of fear, which is also worry, stress, anxiety, the presence of fear is the absence of faith. He says, you're afraid and stuff because you don't have any faith.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You can't wander, ladies and gentlemen, outside the boundaries of faith. Because in him you're complete, but guess what? In him is faith. The Bible says that faith pleases God. So you wander outside the realm of faith, you wander right into the realm of fear, worry, anxiety, and stress. And the problem with that is when you wander in that realm, you have no faith. And the issue is, 1 John 5 and verse 4 says, what is the victory that overcomes the world? Even our faith. You know how you're going to overcome sickness? Faith. You know how you're going to overcome disease? Faith. You know how you're going to overcome financial problems? Faith. Why? The victory that overcomes the world is your faith. Jesus said in Mark chapter 9 and verse 23, he said, all things, everyone say all things. That means every single thing you're facing. You can't sit there with that religious look on your face and say, Pastor, easy for you to say, you're not going through what I'm going through. Doesn't matter because Jesus said, all things are possible to him that will just believe. The person that will enter into faith and get into faith, that thing you're facing that has brought you fear, anxiety, stress, and worry will be possible to be taken care of if you'll believe. It's not up to me. It's not up to Jesus. It's up to your faith.
Amen.
Yeah. And the devil will make you try to believe that pastor, that arrogant little gray-headed thing up there, who does he think he is? Who does he think he is telling me that? Listen, I'm a preacher of the Bible, and I tell you what Jesus said, and the word is the best thing that you could ever hear.
Amen.
You've been listening to the voices of the world for too long, the voices of the devil. I'm here to tell you because the world's been telling you there's no way. The news has been telling you there's no way. The doctors have been telling you there's no way. The financier has been telling you there's no way. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus said, there's a way.
Amen.
There's a way. It's called faith.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
It's called faith.
Amen.
You wander outside of faith, you wander outside of your answer.
That's right.
Praise God, you know. And that's why Jesus told me about 6 years ago, I was walking my dog Wrigley. And in Jamestown, we lived in Jamestown still. And all the time I walk that dog, I get different things in my heart praying. And stuff like that, and really enjoy walking that with her. My mind gets clear, and I just hear from heaven. And he told me my church will major in faith and love.
Amen.
Faith and love. Amen. Well, when you go to college and you take a major, the majority of your curriculum when you get into that major is going to be classes based on that major.
That's right.
But you can minor in things in college too, which means you can dabble into some other things and not get as intensive of study. But when you major on something, you stay there. Well, why do we stay on faith a lot? Because Jesus told me to. And let me just say this. He said when you wander outside of the realm of faith, you get into fear. When you get into fear, you have no faith. When you have no faith, you have no victory. So guess what? When I hunt, you know, I hunt. I get my Ohio license, I get my Pennsylvania license, I get my New York license. And when I go hunting, I do a lot of hunting in state land in Pennsylvania. And a lot of that state land down there is just free to roam. It's Allegheny National Forest, but it also borders different people's properties. And you know, if you wander onto their properties and they catch you, you're in trouble, regardless if they have it posted or not. But I found this. It's way easier to stay within the boundaries when they got it marked with yellow signs. Then I know where not to go. Well, same thing. Why do I preach faith all the time? Because I'm constantly putting up the boundaries for you so you don't wander outside the realm of faith. So you don't have to wonder, what's faith? I don't know what faith is. You have no excuse at this church. It's well posted.
Hallelujah.
It's well posted with faith. That's why I love you so much. I don't want you to wander outside your victory. So Jesus said, you have no faith. Now go with me to Romans 10 and verse 17. Praise God.
Amen.
Romans 10. Got to stay within the boundaries.
Amen.
Why are you afraid? You're afraid because you have no faith. Jesus answered it for you. Your faith level's low. Romans 10, 17. You know, I think that's amazing. It confused Jesus. He couldn't figure out. See, when he knows the answer's available, it's like this. Teacher gives you the test. There's an open book right there. If I'm the teacher and I give you a test, and it's open book and the answers are in the book, I'm going to be confused why you're not getting them all right. Why are you failing this test? Jesus is saying, you have the answers. Why are you afraid?
Wow, praise
God. He was confused. Why? Romans 10, 17. So then. See, maybe you've come from a place you've never heard anything like this before. Well, welcome to New Testament Church.
Amen.
Welcome to what's available to you.
Praise God.
You know, we've been spoon-fed religion our whole lives that tell us, well, we just got to take the hand that's dealt us and the way the chips fell, you know, and whatever way, God just pulls this little lottery slot in heaven. Hopefully my numbers come up. No. You can have as much of God as you want. God is victory. God is health. God is joy. God is peace. God is finances. God is prosperity. You can have as much as God as you want 24/7, 365. It's up to you. It's up to you. It's not about, well, you know, just whatever way the chips fall. That's what we've been brainwashed. We've been spoon-fed since we were little that you got to take it, whatever comes your way. Nope, faith changes what the world throws at you. There are people in the Word of God, blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10, verse 46. The son of Timaeus sat by the highway side begging. Son of David, he heard that Jesus was in the area. A blind man since birth heard that Jesus was in the area. Cried out, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus kept right on walking. He screamed all the louder, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped in his tracks, came over to him. Blind Bartimaeus got up, threw his coat off, came to Jesus, got healed. Jesus said to him, your faith made you whole, blind Bartimaeus. He didn't say, thank God I was here today. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. God's power never leaves. God's ability never leaves. It's always here. Just like electricity is always in this building, but you can walk in this room with the lights off and choose and walk around. Oh, I just wish I could see. Turn the switch on.
Yeah, amen. That's good.
Just because it's dark in here does not mean the electricity has left the building. You're just not cooperating with the electricity.
Right.
God's power is always available. Turn the switch on. What's the switch?
Amen.
Switch of faith.
Yeah.
Switch of faith.
That's good.
Faith will get God on your problems so fast. Ooh, praise God. So a blind man gets changed, completely changed. A woman came to him, a Syrophoenician woman, had a daughter grievously vexed of a devil, came to him, got something from Jesus, and Jesus looked at her and said, your daughter's healed right now in the selfsame hour. He said, your faith made you whole. This woman's daughter was grievously vexed of a devil, got healed, and Jesus said it was because of her faith. Faith changed the whole thing.
Amen.
A woman with the issue of blood suffered 12 years with an issue of blood, Mark chapter 5. Suffered many things and many physicians, grew nothing better, rather grew worse, right? Spent all that she had, was nothing better, in a bad position. Came to Jesus, touched his garments. Jesus said, power went out of me. Who touched me? He found out who the woman was. He said, daughter, your faith made you whole. Three impossible natural situations completely reversed and changed by faith. What are you facing today that is completely impossible naturally? Faith will change it.
Amen.
Praise God. So why don't people have faith? The Bible says, so then, why are people afraid? They don't have faith. Why don't they have faith? Well, faith cometh. Faith cometh. Look at that. Faith cometh. Faith cometh. Faith arrives on the scene. By hearing and hearing the word. You want faith? When you have faith, it drives out fear. When you have fear, you have no faith. Why don't you have faith? Because you don't have enough word in your life. Because the presence of the word is the presence of faith. The presence of faith is the absence of fear. Anxiety, stress, and worry. He said faith comes by hearing the right thing. You've been listening to the wrong voices. Come on. You're just not solidified in your situation for what you're facing today. That thing that you thought of, when I told you to ask that question, that thing that you thought of, you're more solidified on what the doctors have said, what the checkbook has said, what the economy has said, what your job has said, what the bills have said, all these other things, you're solidified on that, and you have not a clue what the word says about it. You've heard the wrong things. You've Googled things. You've Wikipedia'd things. You've called people. You've got professionals' opinions on it. Listen, there ain't no more professional than Jesus. He knows everything. Praise God. You've been listening to the wrong voice. You've been listening to the voice of the world. And that's the voice that you've heeded. That's the voice that you've bought into. And it's led to you having fear. Worry? See, because the world will always tell you, oh, you're going to be broke, the economy's bad, this and that and this and that, your job doesn't pay enough. Listen, my job is not my supply.
That's right.
The economy's not my supply. The United States government is not my supply. Jesus is my supply.
Amen.
I don't give a rip what the gas prices are. I don't give a rip what Wall Street's saying. I don't give a rip what my job's saying. I only give a rip about what the Word says. And the Word says, prosperity 24/7 for me.
Hallelujah.
Yep. Yep, that's the truth. Oh, someone got me started today. Praise the Lord. You've been listening to the wrong voices. You've been listening to the wrong... You've been listening to... You know what you have is incurable. Oh, really? That's interesting because my Bible says He heals all your diseases. All. That means everything incurable and curable by natural science is an all. That's what the Word says.
Hallelujah.
Okay, you choose the voice you want to listen to.
Yeah, right.
Because a blind man got healed. A woman with the issue of blood who went to all the doctors got healed. A woman whose daughter was grievously vexed of a devil got healed. I could go on and on and on in the Word.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Heather, you're not supposed to have a baby.
Yeah.
What in the world happened? Faith happened.
Yeah.
Praise God. Kim, you're supposed to have heart surgery. What in the world happened? Faith happened.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
God is so good.
Amen.
God is so good. But see, you're going to choose. It's up to you. It's up to you what you turn your ears to.
Right.
Faith comes by hearing the word.
Amen.
It's up to you. You want to keep listening to friends and family who put you down and constantly are telling you all the time how bad it is, how troubling it is. Oh, you better watch out for this. You want to keep listening to everybody and buying into what the news is saying and looking everything up online. If you put the amount of energy that you spent gossiping with other people, looking things online and hearing from the world as you did as finding out what the Bible says, you'd have a little faith in your life. I don't know when the body of Christ is going to wake the heck up and realize that the promises of God do not come flying out of heaven like a ripe cherry off a cherry tree and just drop into your lap. They don't. They're accessed by faith. You have to stay in the boundaries of faith. Praise God. Go to Mark chapter 5 and verse 22. Mark chapter 5 and verse 22. Say, man, he preaches mad. You're darn right I do, because I'm ticked off at the devil.
Amen.
He tried to kill me since I was younger. You know the devil? My biological dad committed suicide. My grandfather committed suicide. He tried to do the same to me. That voice all the time. It would be better. It would be better. It would be better. He's a liar.
Right.
We're exposing him. He's a liar when he tells you you can't be healed. He's a liar when he tells you you'll never get out of that financial problem. That situation will never turn around. That situation will never get fixed. He's a liar.
That's right. Amen.
He's a liar.
Yeah.
And so you're darn right I preach ticked off, but not ticked off at you.
Yeah.
I love you, I promise. I'm ticked off at the devil.
Yeah.
He hoodwinks people all the time.
Yeah.
He throws out his line, see if he can get someone to bite the lies that he tells.
Yeah.
Yep. You know what he does? you know, like a bass fisherman, a lot of times they're jigging for things, and what they do is they'll constantly throw this, throw this, throw this. Why? They're trying to get their line back in the water to get a bite. Well, that's what the devil does. He just keeps throwing things in your mind to try to get you to bite one of them. That's what he does. That's what he does. So anyways, Mark chapter 5 and verse 22, it says, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at Jesus' feet." Now notice this. "He besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed and she shall live." So Jesus is walking, runs into a man named Jairus. He's obviously heard that Jesus can do great things because his daughter's in a horrible position, and he runs to Jesus. "My daughter..." He's thinking, "Man, I've heard this man. He does great things. The story and the fame of him is going throughout the regions. He can help her. Medical science can help. Doctors can't help her right now, but this man can." So he ran to Jesus. "Jesus, will you help me?" Well, let's find out if Jesus would help him. Verse 24. "And Jesus went with him." Well, what do you think that was? That was Jesus saying, "Let's go. Let's do it. Praise God. My will is yes. Let's take care of this problem." Aren't you glad?
Amen.
The will of God is to heal. The will of God is to bless. He's a loving God. You see, you know why the world stays away from him? Because they've been brainwashed the wrong God. Who doesn't want to be loved unconditionally? Who doesn't want to have the ability to have the most prosperous, blessed, favored, protected life that they've ever had? Everybody would want that. But see, that's not the God that gets preached from our pulpits. The God that gets preached through our pulpits is the God that's mad at you. The God that's judging you. The God that says, "You got to clean up this, this, and this before I'll even accept you." That's garbage.
That's right.
He's there. You know, think about this. For those of you here that you've had wrong backgrounds concerning God and church, and you're always thinking God's against you, and you're thinking God's after you. Think about this. Jesus hung on the cross. He was in the middle of two gentlemen. The Bible said he hung between two criminals. The one criminal said to him, "If you're the Son of God, if you think you are who you are, get us off this tree." He mocked him. The other one looked at him and said, "I believe who you are. I believe who you are." And notice what Jesus said to him. Jesus didn't look at him and say, "Sorry, you're a criminal and you're on the cross because you're getting punished for what you did. You were a bad person. You didn't go to church. You didn't give enough to church. You were a bad individual. Have fun in hell." Nope. Jesus, to a man who lived a bad natural life, who was sentenced to death for the problems that he did, looked at Jesus and said, "Lord, I believe in you." And Jesus looked at him and said, "Oh, today you're going to be with me in paradise just because you believed." And the guy probably said, "Wait, I don't have to jump through religious hoops?" Nope. "I don't have to have perfect church attendance?" Nope. "You're not mad at me?" No. That's the real God. Praise God. Arms wide open. Hallelujah. And he said, "Yes, let's go. Let's go." And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And that's when we run in verse 25, when Jesus is on the way to heal Jairus' little daughter, he runs into the woman with the issue of blood. So then that story happens, and we'll pick it up in verse 34. So Jesus is walking with Jairus to Jairus' house to heal his little girl. All of a sudden, the woman with the issue of blood, who had 12 years sickness, spent all her money, came to Jesus. She came to Jesus and she said, you know, "What's going on?" Well, in verse 34, he said, "And her daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and behold thy plague." So now think about how wonderful this is now. So not only does he hear about Jesus, Jairus, and he said, "Oh, that guy can heal." He comes to Jesus and says, "Will you help me?" Jesus says, "Yeah, let's go." Now his faith is really rising up. Now as he's on his way there, he sees the healing in action to a woman who's been in, has an incurable blood disease for 12 years. He sees Jesus in action heal this woman. And so now his faith has got to be shooting through the roof. My God, what's about to happen to my daughter? Praise God. While he, verse 35, "While he yet spake," so while he was saying the words, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace, behold that plague." While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the master any further?" So, Jesus says, "Let's go heal your daughter." So what was the will or the word of God for the situation? Was it for that little girl to die or that little girl to be healed?
Healed.
Why would Jesus tell a guy, get his hopes up, "Let's go heal her"? He already knows everything, knew what was going to happen to her. Notice this, he wasn't even in a rush to get to her. He stopped and took care of another situation before he even got to her. And so he's saying, let's go. And now they come, and they tell him something contrary to what the Word says.
Yeah.
Wow. Don't miss this, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. The Bible says all your needs can be met. But yet the job can come, and layoffs and cuts, or unexpected bills can come, or things can happen, and they're telling you, you ain't paying me. You ain't paying me. Right? Come on. God speaks something in your heart. That house is yours, or that vehicle is yours. And then all of a sudden, things start coming up naturally that tell you, you can't have that. God says you can be healed of all your sicknesses. Yet you go to the doctor and say, ooh, it's getting worse. Oh, it's looking worse. That's actually incurable. You're going to have to live with this for the rest of your life. Okay. Well, here we go.
Come on.
This, see, it doesn't take faith to believe what's already done. It takes faith to look in the face of the impossible, to look in the face of when there's no hope naturally and say, ha ha, ha ha ha.
Yeah.
I'm getting what the Word says. I don't care what you say. So now we have a choice now. Jesus says, let's go heal her. They come with a negative report, like we get negative reports. It says, don't worry about it. It's worthless. Now look at what the Master does. Let me ask you, what do you think instantly tried to creep into Jairus' life when they came and said, your daughter's dead? Do you think a little bit of worry?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think a little bit of fear?
Yeah.
Stress and anxiety would have come, tried to creep in?
Sure.
So what's Jesus' response to it? Verse 36. I love this. As soon. Everybody say as soon.
As soon.
He didn't wait for it to sink in. See, if the devil's going to yap, you better learn to yap louder and faster. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, what word that was spoken? Something that was contrary to what he said.
Yeah.
He said, I'm going to heal her. The world said, she's dead. As soon as Jesus heard the word, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, don't be afraid. Why? The presence of fear and anxiety, stress and worry is the absence of what? Faith. What is faith? Faith is how we overcome. Faith is how we receive the promises of God. God needs your faith. So he's telling him, I can't have you be afraid. If I'm going to go to your house and heal your daughter, remember, the woman with the issue of blood, why'd she get healed? Jesus said it was her faith.
Right.
Why did blind Bartimaeus get healed? Not because God's powerful and so loving, because of his faith. Why did the woman whose daughter was grievously vexed of the devil? Why did the daughter get faith? Not because of the mercy of Jesus, because of mom's faith. So he knew, if I go to Jairus' house, Dad, I need you to stay in faith. If you get into fear, faith is going out the window. So Jesus says, as soon as he hears a word that could possibly get him into fear, Jesus says, don't be afraid. Can't have you afraid, Jairus.
That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, you better learn to deal with the fear, anxiety, stress, and worry in your life if you want to walk into the manifestation that God has for you.
That's right.
And Jesus knew it. He said, don't be afraid, only believe. Don't be afraid, only believe. Don't be afraid, only believe. What? Only believe what? Only believe my word.
That's right.
Only believe what I've said about the situation.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Go with me real quick. We're almost done. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Actually, you can go there, but hold your place there. Sue, please go to Numbers 13, chapter 1. That's where we're going to start. You can go to 2 Corinthians 10 in your Bibles and hold your place there. But let's go to Numbers chapter 13. Praise God. Be not afraid, only believe. You say, well, he would have got to the house and healed her anyways. No, no. In fact, we see when Jesus gets to her house, the Bible says he brought three people with him, Peter, James, and John, and Jairus and his wife. Why? Because if Jesus is going to do something for the kids, it has to come through the parents. That's why I was charging Jake and Heather. Listen, Jake and Heather are more of a God to that baby than God will be. They're the door. They're the gatekeepers. They're going to allow things or allow good things in, keep bad things out. Praise God. Because God didn't say, Jesus, I'll raise the children. God will raise. No, he said, you raise the children.
Right.
Yeah.
Come on.
I could tell you how kids are going to turn out in the church. If you want me to tell you how kids are going to turn out in the church, I'll tell you how kids are going to turn out in the church. I can tell you, I mean, I could predict the future right now. The ones that get trained in the Word, and the ones that the Word put in front of them, and the ones that the parents make church a priority and put the things of God a priority, I can tell you how they're going to turn out.
Yeah.
And I can tell you how the other ones are going to turn out that put recreation, put everything else in front of it, put churches optional. I'll tell you how they're going to turn out too. Why? Because the Word already told me.
That's right.
The Word already told me. I'll tell you, get the holy hush just set in. It's a phenomenon you experience in churches when you start talking about people's money and people's kids. Whoo, gets quiet in here. Don't hate the messenger. Train up a child in the way that they go, that when they're older, they won't depart. So you could say it opposite way. Don't train your child up in the way they should go, and when they're older, bye-bye. That's what the Word says. I didn't say it. The Word said it. Praise God. Honor your mother. Teach them to honor. Be honorable and obedient. Why? They'll live long on the earth and be blessed. Don't teach them that way. Different story. Oh, pastor, I don't like it. Then you don't like the Bible. Listen, mom and dad, you ready for this? Your job's not to be buddies. Your job is to be trainers. Training is not always fun. Training is not always joyful for the one being trained. Oh, I'm just going to, you know, just let my kids run the show. Oh, you are putting wrong things into them. You train them. Yeah.
Good word.
Oh. Who do you think you are? I'm the pastor of this church that preaches the Bible. That's who I think I am. Praise God. And I speak by the authority of the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
Where did we say to go? Numbers 13. That's just a little side journey. You know, your little princess and your little king are not to be the truly the king and the princess of the home.
That's right. Yeah, that's good.
I have already made up my mind. Life is too short to let my kids ruin it.
Yeah. Wow.
They are going to do what we say to do. Well, you know, they might not like it. It's not a democracy.
Yeah.
They don't have a vote.
That's so good.
And you know what's funny about it? My children are the most loved, blessed kids. You think, oh, God, I'd hate to be your kid. No, you'd love to be my kid.
Yeah. Amen.
You ask my kids if they love being my kid. They love it. Why? I bless them more than anyone would bless them.
Yeah.
I'm kind to them, compassionate to them, love them. God is number one in our family. Praise
Amen.
God. It's fun. I'm telling you, I'm a fun dad. Praise
Amen.
God. I'm a fun dad. You think differently. I'm a fun dad. Praise God. Numbers 13 says this. We got to get going here. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, send men that they may search the land of Canaan. That's the promised land. And notice this. Which I give unto the children of Israel. He said, I'm giving the children of Israel a promised land. Now he says, go search it out and go look at it. Go to Numbers 13 now. We're going to just for time's sake. Go to Numbers 13, 27. My kids don't have a vote.
That's right. That's right.
I love it when parents, they don't want to do that. In your point is what?
Right.
Yeah, just keep letting them tell you how to do things.
Yeah, right.
Just keep letting them tell you how things are going to go.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, they don't want to do that. Yeah. No, duh.
Yeah. Praise God.
And they told him and said, we came. So they went and looked at the land. Now they're coming back to Moses. I'm almost done. They came back to Moses. They said, we came unto a land where you sent us, and surely it flowed with milk and honey. This is the fruit of it. Said, this is a good land.
Yeah.
What you've given us is good, Father. It said, verse 28, nevertheless. Oh, here we go. Nevertheless, the people are strong in the land. The cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the south. Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites dwell in the mountains. Canaanites by the sea and the coast of Jordan. So they went in. They said, God said they could have a land. Just like God said you could be prosperous. Just like God said you could be healed. But how many of you know, sometimes God says you can be healed, yet there's symptoms. Yet there's doctor's reports. Yet God said you can be blessed, yet sometimes there's bills you can't pay. There's job rumblings that look bad, right? And that's what they did. They said, wait, God said we could have a land. We're going there, and there's already people there. There's cities, there's walls, there's armies, there's fortresses. Do you think worry, fear, anxiety, and stress started to set in? Absolutely. Absolutely. But look at what Caleb said. Caleb stilled the people before Moses, verse 30, said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than us. And they brought up, now notice what God called it. They brought up an evil report of the land. It wasn't even a false report. They were reporting everything that they really saw, but the problem was they believed what they saw.
Right. Yeah.
It's not a false report to say the doctor says I have this. It's not a false report to say the money in the bank account says this. The false report and the evil report is when you believe that over what the Bible's report is. That's when it becomes evil. Amen. They brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched in the land, children of Israel, the land through which we have... Now notice this. I love this. This is the way people are. The land which we have searched it. They start whining and groaning and groping and moaning and complaining. It is a land that eateth up the inhabitants. Now notice this. This gets worse. And all the people we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants. Oh my God. Which come down and we were as grasshoppers in their sight. Oh, singing the sad song to Jesus. Now let me ask you something. God told them they could have the land. Do you think God already knew what was there?
Yes.
But yet he said they could have it, right?
That's right.
God says, you can have, why are you afraid? I can't pay my bills. Oh, it's so bad. They're talking about cutting my job. They're not giving me a promotion. They're giving me decrees. I saw this happening. The doctor said I had this. I say, wait a minute, wait. Don't you think that God told you could be healed knowing what you'd face? Don't you think that God told you could be prosperous knowing what you'd face? Either God totally forgot and didn't do his job of scouting the land, or God was not concerned with what was going on in the natural, and if he's not fretting and pacing the floors of heaven, you ought not to be fretting and pacing the floors of your living room. God is saying, I don't care what the natural says. The natural is not if the natural's lined up, doesn't matter. If the natural's not lined up, it doesn't mean you can't have what I said you can have.
Right.
The natural does not dictate whether or not you can have the promise.
Right.
And that's what you're basing your faith on. When the job's good and the money's there, oh yeah, God will meet all my needs. But as soon as that changes, because the natural changes, oh, that must not be so. Oh yeah, when all the symptoms are gone and the doctor's reports are in a line, yep, healing's mine. But as soon as symptoms come and the doctors start saying something awful and scary to your mind, you think because the natural says something that you can't have what the Bible says. And God is saying to them here, I'm giving you a land that already has people in it, that already has fortresses and the cities are walled. He's saying, I want you to actually pull up your bootstraps, pull up your britches, and actually believe me over what you're seeing. That's called faith. Faith is not needed when the healing is there. Faith is not needed when all the money's there. When the kids are all serving God, faith is not needed. Faith is needed when hell on earth, ding dong, knock knock, who's there? Hi, hell. Hell shows up at your front door. That's when faith is needed.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And he's saying to you, the natural does not determine whether or not you get in the promise. What determines it is, are you going to believe my voice or are you going to believe the voice of the natural?
Wow, that's so good.
Amen?
Amen?
It's an evil report.
Right.
It's an evil report. And I've gone too long. We're going to stop there. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. Jesus, we believe you. We believe you over the natural. Praise God. There's hope in Jesus. Hallelujah. There's hope in Jesus. We bless you this morning, Father. We glorify you this morning, Father. We honor you this morning. We praise you for the answers. We praise you for the answers. With heads bowed and eyes closed, please nobody looking around. I don't ask that to be bossy, but just to, you know, be respectful of other people because, you know, other people might be shy or something like that. It'd just be nice if everyone bowed their heads and closed their eyes. I want everybody in here. You know, I talk about victory and I talk about prosperity and I talk about health and I talk about, you know, your kids serving God and walking into peace, freedom from fear, anxiety, stress, and worry. I talk about all those things. And yeah, they're a product of being a child of God. They are. They're available to you. But man, the greatest thing that ever became available to you was salvation. You know, just like when I had that gun in my mouth in 1996, the fall of 96, eternity was put before me. And ladies and gentlemen, there's a hell to shun and there's a heaven to gain. But the wonderful thing about it is it's easy to miss hell and it's easy to gain heaven. It's simple. Ask yourself this question, if you can hear my voice right now, whether you're listening on live stream, you're listening in the future by archive, or you're in this building. If today were my last day on planet Earth, ask yourself this question. Where would I go? You say, well, I don't...